In Mark chapter 5 this morning. Sunday night, we've been doing a doctrinal series, and we did a week on guardian angels. Is there such a thing? We did a week on fallen angels. And after the message last Sunday evening, I decided to add a third message to the doctrinal series and bring it this morning. And we're going to talk about demon possession this morning and the need for the Christian to be protected. And you want to be protected. Nobody wants to be harassed by the demonic. So, Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So here's Jesus. He is in this, he's the country of the Gadarenes, the other side of the sea, and immediately. Sometimes you ever feel like you get immediate attack and it just catches you unaware. Here you are, you're just doing your own thing, just going about your way, getting out of a ship is kind of a routine thing for them. And all of a sudden, you're confronted with the demonic. Just in your face, immediately, there met him a man of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. That is to be differentiated from a man that is walking in the Holy Spirit. Now, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of you. And so you can't be possessed because the Holy Spirit lives there. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they cannot. But can you be oppressed? Can you be in a position or in a place in your life where it is just you're just residing in a dark place? Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that this morning. What is the key? The key is to walk in the Spirit. So keep your finger here in Mark chapter 5 and turn back with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. We shared this on Sunday evening, I think 2 weeks ago. 2 Kings chapter 6. Are there guardian angels? Now there are. And who had not one, not two, not ten, but a host of them? Well, that would be Elisha. This is a bad thing going on. Let's start at verse 13, the paragraph. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. Now, they're looking for the preacher. They're looking for Elisha, the prophet. And so they got their intelligence network out there. Where is he? Where is he hiding? We're going to go get him. We're going to go fetch him. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. Why? Because this guy's in Dothan. We're going to have a show of force. We're going to go get him, and we are going to bring him back. Chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. They're surrounded. There is no way they're getting out of it. Listen, that's just good law enforcement. You figure out where the guy is, where the guy you're looking for, and you get a group there, and you surround the building or surround the house because you're going to send some guys in the front door, and oftentimes the guy goes out the back door. we were looking for a guy, and rumor had it his mother called on him that he was in the house. And so the guy said, I was, I don't know, probably 29 years of age at the time. I was running 8 miles a day, lifting weights 3 times a week. I was in great shape. And so the guys looked at me and said, Bishop, you're the runner, so you go to the back of the house. It was a townhouse just off of Stone Road. And so I was on my way around the back when they went in the front. They didn't give me time to get to the back. By the time I got around the side, the guy that we were looking for, he came out the back door, and he's taken off across the field. And now the chase is on. The guy's in the front door. They don't care, you know. They're at the front door. They're talking to the lady. Where'd he go? He went out the back. Oh, Bishop's got him. So across two lanes of southbound traffic, two lanes of northbound traffic, a couple of turn lanes. And now there are townhouses there, but there was a field, grass field. Grass was about waist high. And this teenager, he's probably, I don't know, 17 years of age. He's running. He's running. And I am talking to him as I run. I'm not catching him, but he's not getting away from me. And so he's about, I don't know, from me to Frank ahead of me, and we're running through this thick field. And so here I am, and I've got a uniform on, and I've got bulletproof vest on, and I've got 20 pounds of gear on, and this 17-year-old is running from me. And so I'm trash-talking him. I said, "Hey, buddy, keep running. I run 8 miles a day. So I don't know if you can run 8 miles a day. I don't know who's going to fall first, you or me. Can you run 8 miles a day?" And finally, he just gave up. He laid down in the grass, and I got him up. We took him back over to where Mama was, and I said to him, "How does it feel to get outrun by a 30-year-old old man?" Old man. He just went, "Oh." So you send a host. Well, hopefully they've got the place around it, so the bad guy's not going to escape. And so they're going after Elisha, so he doesn't escape. They got the city, they got a host, they got all these chariots, and they've compassed the city about. And when, they did that by night, verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And he," Elisha, "answered, 'Fear not.'" Wait a minute. These soldiers have come to get you. You are the guy that they are looking for. Right. They have the city surrounded. That's correct. We got them right where we want them. Really? "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." They have compassed Dothan about with chariots and horses and men. Elisha, there are two. There's you and there's me. And he didn't see it. Now, is he spiritual? He's a spiritual man, I would say. He's hanging out with the preacher. Preacher's a spiritual man. Some of that influence has got to rub off on him. But Elisha prayed in verse 17 and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The young man could not see it. So my desire this morning is to open your eyes that you will be able to see God's protection, the forces of good, the guardian angels, that's what you want to call them, and the forces of evil that are at work in the world today. I want you to see both. And the question is going to be, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts and help us to understand your word, to understand that there is a battle going on, and to make sure that we have the protections that are available to everyone in this room that knows you as their Savior. Father, for that person that does not know you, they have never received your salvation, the Holy Spirit does not reside inside, may they understand that they are at great risk for demonic possession. For the Christian this morning, may we understand that we are at great risk for demonic oppression. And may we, again, protect ourselves. May the person without you come to know you as their Savior and avail themselves to protections that are available to every believer. We pray and ask for you to speak in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Demons. Demons are, by definition, a spirit or immaterial being holding a middle place between men and celestial pagan deities. That's a textbook definition. Bible calls them rulers of... we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual darkness, high places, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. It's there. Now, New Testament beings, we're going to go back to the New Testament. Go back with me to Mark chapter 5. In the New Testament, they vexed and tormented people. They're called evil spirits or unclean spirits there in the New Testament. So you read through and you see somebody was tormented by an unclean spirit. That is always a demonic in God's Word, demonic in origin. So the question comes up, was asked me, can children be demon-possessed? So we see this man in Mark chapter 5. This is a man. He is an adult. He is an unclean spirit. Verse 3, had his dwellings among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that when he had been often bound with fetters and chains, the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now, you want to see something, you could probably Google this, look on the web and see. There are examples, and you can certainly go to our local police academy and say, I would like to see a pair of handcuffs that have been destroyed by someone who is, well, they're not going to recognize demon possession, but someone who got out of, they're called temporary restraints, handcuffs are. And they're metal. And I don't know if you've ever seen them. Hopefully you've never been in them. Every once in a while, we'll bring a pair to church and we'll lock up some of the teens, you know, just for fun, see if they can get out, or as a part of an illustration. In our police academy, they have a pair of those, and they're heavy metal, heavy steel, and they have been twisted like a corkscrew and broken off. Now, who could do that? I can tell you. That wouldn't be me. That wouldn't be me. And I suspect it wouldn't be you. I'm pretty confident it would not be Josiah getting out of those things. But they did. Where does that come from? It comes from demon possession. Demon possession. Broken, the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, and he saw Jesus afar off and ran and worshiped him. So he met Jesus immediately when he came out of the boat. So somehow this guy up in the mountains saw Jesus as he was in the boat coming to shore. He ran from the mountains to the shore, and as Jesus getting out of the boat, he immediately met him. Immediately met him. And cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? The demons know who the power is. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked, what is thy name? You want to know where plural pronouns come from? Plural pronouns come from demon possession. A plural pronoun is a mark of demon possession. And we live in a society where that is encouraged. And that is not a good thing. what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we, notice the plural pronoun, we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Why? Because Jesus had that ability to do that. Went to the swine. You can read the rest of that passage. suffice it to say, we have a grown man who is under the influence of the demonic. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And we're going to start at verse 14. That's the paragraph. And we're going to start reading, and we're going to concentrate on verses 17 and following. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. But here's Jesus. Here's his disciples. They're in a crowd, and they're being asked questions. What is going on? Obviously, there is something going on that has caused a stir. Jesus is approaching the group. They turn. They see Jesus coming, and the group focus their attention on Jesus Christ. They go in his direction, running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" So it's kind of like this. There's this, it's not a riot, but it's something's going on. The disciples are being questioned. And they've either done something or they haven't done something that they think they should have done. And now the boss is showing up. Oh, the boss is here, Jesus Christ. Oh, we're going to go ask him. So they run to him, and Jesus asks, "What question ye?" Verse 16. "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway. This is an amazing active event that is unfolding. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, are you listening? Young people, Josiah, are you listening? He asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he, dad, said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Dad had gotten to the point with his son that he wanted to hope that there was help to be found in Jesus Christ. But this had gone on for so long that dad just thought, "I'd like to think you can help. Help me believe that you can help." Jesus saw the people, came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he would come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? This is a spiritual warfare going on. What's the problem? And Jesus said unto them, verse 29, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And we're not going to take the time for it this morning, but we could read the companion passages found in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21. Matthew talks about this. We have just read in Mark. Mark is going to talk about this. Luke chapter 9, verse 37 is going to talk about this event. This is an amazing event in the life of Jesus Christ that every one of the disciples said, this is something that stood out to them. Mark and Matthew and Luke all took the time to document this from their own perspective. Why? Because they were powerless to help. The boy had a problem. it came to him as a child. Jesus Christ was the solution and provided the solution. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'll just throw a little advertisement in here, especially for the young people. Mrs. Bishop and I have been working with teenagers here at Lighthouse Baptist Church for 30 years. And every once in a while, someone will come to us and they'll go up to Mrs. Bishop, a young lady, and they'll say, "Mrs. Bishop, can you come and see me? Because I'm hearing voices, I'm seeing things, there are people in my room, I can think things, stir things going on under the bed." And Mrs. Bishop understands that we are dealing with the demonic. And she says, "Hey, I'm going to make a visit. Will you come with me?" she wants backup, and that's a good thing. And we'll go into the home. We'll sit down with the young person. We'll listen. And I'll tell you, some of the stories that the young people have told us over the last 30 years would curl the hair on the back of your head. Are you listening? Because every single case. Now, I believe the young people that we're talking to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're blood-bought, blood-washed children of God. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you to live. But that does not mean that Satan is not active, desiring to beat you up, to make your life miserable. What we would call not demon possession, but demon oppression. And you see it in the news. The newspaper is not going to say demon possession. They're going to say things like, "That person, they were so possessed. They just seemed to be oppressed. They were under a dark cloud." And you can read the lines. They're not going to say it, and they're not going to call it that. But when you read the news articles about what's going on in our society when it comes to people and young people, or older people having an episode, many times you can see the same words that I'm using, oppressed or possessed, in their articles. Every single one can be tied to music. Every single one. That's typically the first question I'm going to ask. What kind of music are you listening to? And every single time, every single case can be tied to music that is dark and foreboding. I'm going to talk about rock music, rap music, heavy metal music. That's talking about drug use and suicide and immorality. And it's over and over and over and over again. I have yet to meet a young person who would admit to me that their music is dark. And that's a matter of fact. And I have over the years many times printed out the lyrics of the word and highlighted every reference to drug use, suicide, immorality, abortion, killing, darkness. And it's over and over and over again, profanity laced over and over and over again. And when I highlight that and lay it down, print it out, I lay it down for the young people and for the parents to see, the reaction is shock. I didn't know that. I didn't see that. I didn't hear that. But you're constantly pumping that stuff in, and you're inviting the demonic forces to hang around. That's just not something I want to hang around and be around and be a part of. We are in Luke chapter 8. I draw your attention to verse 26. "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." So one mark of a demon possession is declothing. The demon-possessed man was wearing no clothing. So I would say, from Mrs. Bishop's in my experience, number one, that every instance of demon oppression can be tied to music, and typically there is a connection between nudity and demon possession or demon oppression. The desire to take the clothes off, to not see the importance of being clothed. A mark of the Holy Spirit is modesty. Modest apparel. There is a difference. Again, the desire to be unclothed in public is not a mark of the Holy Spirit. It is not. A mark of the Holy Spirit is modesty. The desire to be unclothed in public is a mark of unclean, foul, dumb, deaf, the spirits which are mentioned and given those terms in God's Word. And parents, you ought to recognize that. When your child comes home and says, "Hey, I want to undress for the world to see," their alarm bell should go off. Why is that? What causes that desire to the immoral? It's not the Holy Spirit. It is not. It's the unclean spirits. So just be careful. When your young people are coming home and the first thing they do is they put their earpods in, they put their headphones on, and they're doing what they do. You better get the lyrics. See what's going on. Because you are inviting into your home, into your child, demon oppression if they're a Christian, demon possession if they're unsaved. It's a scary, scary thing. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. "For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it caught him, kept him bound in chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." You're seeing if Mark's awake up there with the camera. And you say, where are you going? Where are you going? Driven. A mark of demon possession is driven. Where are you going? What are you doing? What's going on? And they just seem to be focus, going somewhere. Well, where are they going? I don't know. I just got to get out. I just got to go. I just driven. This man, demon possession, he was driven of that spirit into the wilderness. How often? Night and day. Mark chapter 5, verse 4 tells us he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying. A lot of cutting going on in the day and age in which we live, and has been for years. What is that a mark of? It is mark of demon possession, demon oppression. And just because you're a Christian, you know Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit, does not mean that you cannot be affected from the outside to do some of the same things that manifest in the person, inside of the person, who is not a believer. Run. So what are we going to do? What do we do? Well, let's send them to the hospital, right? Santa Rosa Hospital was in the news just recently. A 12-year-old girl in one of our facilities in Santa Rosa was assaulted by an adult male, a physical assault, while she was in the hospital to get help from the demonic. Hospital called a staff member in. The staff member, they said, "What happened?" And they allowed the staff member to write the report about the incident. "Is something wrong with that?" And then it happened again. And they allowed the staff member, same guy, a second time to write the report about the event. And then somebody from the outside, a parent called the police and said, "Hey, this is going on in this facility. This doesn't seem to be right." And then the police uncovered this was the second time. And then the hospital put out a statement. Santa Rosa Hospital put out a statement. And this is what their statement said. "It appears that it may have happened." It appears that it may have happened. And so this article is talking about the safety in our institutions across the world. And this is what the article said, atrocities, human rights violations, hundreds of safety violations. Now, there was one case in a hospital, two teens were put in the hospital. They were both under doctor's orders to be monitored. One was to be monitored for their safety because they were vulnerable. One was to be monitored because they were an aggressor. Neither one was monitored, and they were put in the same room together. And so you can imagine what happened. The grim, they described it as chaotic. The grim result of violence and abuse. The article went on to say, a tsunami of violence and abuse. And on the international scale, not just here in America, it's not just here in Fairfax County, but on an international, across the world, it said, our hospitals are, quote, a horror house of abuse. We're taking those who are demon-possessed and demon-oppressed, we're putting them away together, and there, imagine living in a demon house for a while. Man, it's just not a good thing. But I'm here to tell you, God has the answer, and that answer is this, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. This question came up. Does God send demons to torment people? Is this possible? I'll just say you should be doing your scripture memory with Brother Dan, because James chapter 1, we're memorizing that this year, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. Young people, are you listening? Every man is tempted when he is drawn apart of his own lust and enticed. What about King Saul? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. That seems to be inconsistent with what I just said. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 9 says, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. How do we reconcile those differences? Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil, and the Bible talks about it. I hope that you're here for the Sunday school hour. We just covered the book of Job in the auditorium class and downstairs class. It was a great series on what is going on behind the scenes of the demonic. And so, Job chapter 1, Satan and God are having a conversation. And God says to Satan, hath thou considered my servant Job? And Satan said, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and that helps us to understand. Job is the oldest written book to help us understand what is going on in the dark recesses, dark corners of life. And so you could say that evil spirit upon Job came from the Lord, because the Lord allowed it. And that is the nature of that. God didn't send it. It's not from the Lord, but the Lord allowed it. Why? So that today, in 2025, we would understand that there is a Satan, and there are demons. They have a hierarchy. They walk around seeking whom they may devour. And we would understand to avail ourselves to the guardian forces of the Holy Spirit of God that are there to protect us. Satan went after Job.
Job trusted God. Satan goes back to God, have another conversation. And God just said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? You've destroyed his house, his lands, his children, and he still loves me. And Satan says, yeah, but you take his health. You give him cancer. You give him a physical malady. And he'll curse you. And so God did that. God gave him permission. God gave Satan permission to go from him and afflict Job physically. Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And we know from reading the book of Job that Job did not do that. Job did not understand what was going on, but we should. Today, that scenario still plays out. God says, Satan goes before the Lord and says, hey, you know that Williams guy? You let me touch him. You let me afflict him. You let me put him on a cane and on a walker and make it difficult for him to get up. And he will curse you and die. And so here's Brother Williams. Where is he this morning? Not crawling in. But he said, I'm just going to go to church. Because he realizes that this is not something that he's done that is wrong, but very possibly there are forces of evil. Satan's gone before the Lord and said, you know, this guy, he's not a real Christian. God said, really? Williams? Yeah, he's the real deal. He loves me. He loves me for who I am. It doesn't matter what you do to him. Now, I'll allow you to work in these parameters. And what does that say to all of us? It says that there is a God in heaven that we can trust to help us. It says there is a Satan out there that wants to destroy us. Remember our example from last Sunday evening, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. There are those armed for our protection. So Josiah, come up here and help me. Josiah is going to come up here and help me this morning. Unplug this. So just stand right up here. Stand right up here. Yeah, stand right up here. Good looking young man. Wait, is your mom watching on TV? Wait to the TV people out there. Yeah, okay. So here's Josiah. He is a young man. How old are you, Josiah? 12. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Okay. Your dad treating you pretty good? Would you tell me if he wasn't? Yeah, watch it. So here's a young man. He knows Jesus Christ is his Savior. And he's walking in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, God's got angels that guard you. You might not see them. The young man who was walking with Elisha, he didn't see him. And Elisha said, hey, they that be for us are more than they that be against us. And Elisha said, open his eyes that he may see, right? See this. So, Mr. Frank, come on, help me. All right, Mr. Frank, try to get at Josiah. What am I doing? I'm protecting. Okay, thank you very much. But Josiah decides he's a Christian. He knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he decides he's going to walk in the flesh. He decides he's going to embrace bad music. He's going to embrace bad movies. He's going to fill his mind with garbage. And he's going to say to God, you know, I don't really need your word, and I'm not going to pray. Kind of do your own thing. So tell me, go do your own thing. Do your own thing. Okay. Really? You want me to go? And so I go. Am I still there? Am I still available? What does he do? His guards are gone. And now, Mr. Frank, okay, thank you, Mr. Frank. Now, Mr. Frank can't get inside of him because the Holy Spirit lives in him. He's the blood-washed child of the king. But the bad guys, the bad angels, the demonic, and hitting them and banging them up, hitting them in the knees, hitting them from the side. He had no protection. You say, I want the good angels back. Okay, I'm good angels. Hey, we're back. So he goes to church, and the preacher preaches a message, and he comes to the altar and says, you know what? I've been living wrong. And so angels show back up for duty. That's a smart decision, buddy. No, don't go after my buddy Josiah. But then Monday comes, and he goes to school, and he says, you know, God, can you take a hike for the next 8 hours? God's like, really? Okay. So during the school day, he puts God to the side. What does he open himself up for? Man, just every kind of demonic poop being out there that's out to get him. So every one of us, you have to make a choice. Thank you, Josiah. You can go sit down. You got to make a choice. Are you going to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh? But when you make the decision to walk in the Spirit, you forfeit the protection of God's angels. They're not going to fight off the fallen angels, the demonic, if you invite them in. They're there. And at any time, you can say, help! And God will send help. But if you think that you're going to live one foot in church and one foot in the world, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be a Christian part-time and keep my presence in the world part-time. It just doesn't work that way. In many cases in police work over the years that I have felt God's presence. I pray at the beginning of shift, Lord, help me to see evil, help me to see, God, protect me. Or going on call, it was a building under construction in the Fair Lakes area, and the call came out. We have a bad guy in the building that's under construction, and I was dispatched to Area 820. It was Area 820, and I was not the primary officer. I was a backup. I was in Centerville. I hit en route on my computer, and I was on my way there. And the primary officer, 820, and there were three of us that were dispatched, 850, who was just south of that. They didn't press on their computer that they were going. The dispatcher says, 820 Adam, 820 Adam, 850 Adam. They're not answering the radio. The lieutenant gets on the radio, and he says, put out tones. And those are real loud tones that get your attention. If you're away from the car and you hear those, you know something serious is going down. Tones go out, beep, beep. And the dispatcher calls again, 820 Adam, 850 Adam, please respond. No response. Well, I'm going to a call where there's bad guy there in the building by myself. Now, because I'm the backup, but the primary officer and the secondary, I was actually the third guy on the list because of how far I was away. And I'm getting there, and the lieutenant, a really good boss, gets on the radio and says, hey, Phil, I got your back. I got your back. And he came, and I'm at the building. I'm starting to do the building search, and I heard him say on the radio, he said, I got your back. I'm here. I'm here. And at that moment, come here, Josiah, come on. Quick, we got 2 minutes, buddy. I'm facing this way. Come here. You're me. I'm facing this way. I'm looking for the bad guy. You know, I got my flashlight and I got out because I know there's a bad guy in the building. And my boss has said, my lieutenant said, no, don't look at me. Don't look straight ahead, man. I'm threading it out there, buddy. But my boss said, lieutenant said, hey, on the radio, I got your back. And at that moment, on my left side, I felt his hand on my elbow, so I knew he was close. And I looked back, go sit down. And he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Who was there? I believe God was there. There is an angel that God had sent to help me. And I can tell you, time and time again, I got a list, I don't know, 7 or 8 times, that events very similar to that happened where I felt and I believed that God was there in the room. I mean, I felt his hand on my elbow, but He was not there. Now, he was there a few minutes later, but he was not there at that moment. So here's a question, because we are out of time. I'm not out of information, but we are absolutely out of time. Josiah, do you have God's protection? You have the Holy Spirit, but do you enjoy God's protection on your life? You can, and you should. But God's protection on your life is not, God's not going to fight. If you want his protection, he will give it. But if you want to walk in the flesh and live under satanic attack, Saul, God will let you do that. I just don't recommend it. Why? Because you never know when you're going to need help. God's help. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Time is gone. It's an interesting passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the servant of the Lord, that's me, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know Christ is your Savior, but there is some dark stuff in your life. You are at great risk, not for possession, but to live in a very dark place, dark, depressed, seeing things, hearing things, not inside, but all around you. Just a dangerous place to live. I would encourage you to walk in the Spirit. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. Need to be saved. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Let's stand to our feet, the piano playing. The invitation is on. The altar is here. If you want to pray, you want a preacher to pray for you, I'll be delighted to do that. Challenge you today is a walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit.